Oh, I'm calling Ben. Calling Ben. Yes, I am calling Ben. Calling Ben on the phone, which I already dialed because I'm so super smart. I'm super smart. I'm super smart. I'm very, 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 very smart. I called Ben already. Hey, Ben, what's up?
I was just going to ask myself if you were going to forget again today.
No. No, I remembered.
You did. Hey, Paul.
Yeah. Hey, Ben. You know why I remembered?
Why?
Jennifer was already complaining to me about some of the content of last week's podcast.
What was it?
So I know that she's doing I'm sure you'll hear about it in corrections.
Okay, good.
Here's something I'll just just right off the bat say, I don't know if you know this, but I can become obsessed with my own ideas and convinced that they're going to happen. Even when there's a whole bunch of evidence and past things to indicate that they probably won't, which is nice. And I think she's going to be pointing out one of those things today
okay.
in corrections. So I'm Excellent. Just teasing that a little bit.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I made cookies today. Are you familiar with Ranger cookies? I might have brought it up on the podcast before.
The name sounds familiar, but remind me what they are.
They're kind of like oatmeal cookies, but they have coconut and cereal in them.
Okay, and why are they called Ranger cookies? Do they have some sort of history with the Park Service?
I feel as though, and I don't know. Let me start off by saying that. But I feel as though they might be called Ranger cookies because they're kind of a catch-all. Like you're making the cookies out of what you find,
yeah. Like
much like a ranger might forage.
Or food like that these days, I think, is called pantry food. You make whatever you find in your pantry.
Yeah. So the idea maybe at a ranger station, you don't really have a lot of food around, so you have whatever you find
oatmeal
in the ranger
and
station.
Cereal.
Yep, oatmeal, cereal, and coconut. Here's
coconut.
A fun tip also, very important to measure the salt properly when making cookies. If you have a little extra in there, it goes a long way. I had to, I kept adding more of the other ingredients I had already added until I got it to, the level of sweetness that one expects from a cookie. You don't really want a cookie to be savory. And then when that happened, I had too much sugar, so it was kind of lumpier. So I had to add an extra egg. All of this worked out fine. The cookies are great.
You know, baking is math, and sounds like you're just making up your own equation at that point.
Yeah, mathematician Zach Treisman once said to me, you know why there are so many chocolate chip cookie recipes? It's because the recipe really doesn't matter. The fine details don't matter as long as you can get the ratios correct, basically.
Zach Treisman. I told you about my...
I almost didn't want to bring him up because I thought you would feel bad.
It's like with you and the guy at the Guild 45th, the assistant manager who was being a jerk.
Every time, why was he...
I don't remember, but every time I think of Zach, I don't think of all my positive experiences with him. I just think of the one thing he did to me.
Yeah. There are a couple people... I know professionally that I have that sort of relationship with. It's like, I can get along with you, but this one thing you did makes it so I can never trust you again. And so there are a list of people where if I went to apply for a job and I found out that they were at the company I was working for, I would think to myself, maybe a little bit more unemployment wouldn't be so bad for me.
I don't...
Because, yeah.
Yeah, I don't hold that big of a grudge. It's not something. It's not like if I saw this dude today, you know, I would have a perfectly pleasant conversation with him, and you know, I would ask about what he's been up to in the last, I don't know, 15 years. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, you did that one thing, and I'm always going to think of that. I'm not going to hold it against you outwardly, but inwardly, I still think you're a jerk.
Oh, if you found the thing is, if you found him in the same situation, you would probably make different choices. You know what I mean?
I don't.
Like, you wouldn't run into, like...
It would never happen again.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the issue, is that if the thing that caused it was normal day-to-day office work...
Right.
Then you might be shy.
Right. Totally.
When it comes to making those
totally
choices.
I totally know what you mean. I once left a job because I didn't like one of my coworkers.
Yeah. And for me it's usually a trust issue. Like if I can't trust them, I had a boss who I really respected, really liked, and things like that. But every once in a while, this boss would turn to me and go, I think Paul's working on that, right? And we had never discussed it.
Yeah.
And so what I would have to do, because you know me, I don't like lying anymore because I'm married to Jennifer now. And
she'll know.
Being around someone who knows when you're lying, especially, and this is the big thing, she was aware of when I was lying when I myself wasn't aware of it. An example being, we were driving in the car and there was a lady who walked out in front of us. This is really early in our relationship.
Yeah.
And she says, Paul, and I slammed on the brakes and she said, didn't you see her? And I was like, sure I did. And so she was like, but did you? And I'm like, oh, I guess not. and so that kind of thing. So I try very, very, very hard now to be truthful,
but
I find it easier. When you're truthful, you don't have to keep your story straight.
You don't have to try to remember what the lie is. But so
exactly.
So,
I think that's why old people get more truthful as they get older.
Just because
they realize that consequences don't matter as much as people think they do when they're younger, and also they can't remember.
Yeah, and also, I've heard tell that people don't leave jobs; they leave bosses. And it's I think that's totally true. I once left a job because I had lost respect for my supervisor. I couldn't work for him anymore.
Yeah.
I also didn't like the job. It's not like the job was a great job and it paid really well. You know, there's a point where I could look past things like that.
So the basic thing, the whole reason truthfulness comes in is when this boss would say, well, I think Paul's working on that. I would have to search my memory for one thing that I did that it was tangentially related. And I would say, so for instance, if it's, I need these reports for you, from you. Oh, I think Paul's working on that. I would have to say, I've made a template for reports and it can easily be adapted to this report that you need now.
Right.
I can't say that I'm doing it, and I'm not going to, but I can get close enough.
Right.
Similarly, when I was doing the reality show, sometimes people would say, they would like say, can you say this on the show? Can you say, and I made it a point, I would never say exactly the thing that they were asking me to say. I would take it. I would internalize it, and then I would say something enough to it.
You'd make it your own.
Exactly. And once they figured out I was doing that, the other thing is that the stuff that I said was funnier, I would have to say.
We don't know. You could say I had, that. We don't know what they were telling you to say.
Right, exactly. But I had the guy who was directing the thing trusted me. And he was a good guy, and I'm sure he hasn't killed anyone. Probably, I hate it, Ben.
Drugged anybody in a nightclub.
These days, you can't support anyone because you have no idea what they're going to end up doing. Ugh, it's bad. It's bad. So yeah, really, the days are mushy, Ben.
I trust you're still working from home.
I am still working from home. That does help keep me a little bit grounded. But like, for instance, my nails, right, are long.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh, I just trimmed my nails. Why are they so long? It must have been like 2 days ago. It was like a week ago.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I am in need of a haircut, but I'm not going to go protest in front of the governor's mansion for my right to get a haircut.
Oh, man.
But I tell you, once they open up the salons, I'm going to get in line.
I'm lucky because I chose a look that does not require me to cut my hair at all. I did shave my beard down. I'm growing it back now. The reason is because... you might have seen this thing that went around online, the CDC's facial hair recommendations.
Oh yeah,
for wearing masks. See that? It was a and that's the thing. It's not for wearing cloth masks. It's for wearing these special sealed masks. But Jennifer made a very good point. She had mentioned that her mother had said that I should probably shave my beard off. And the point that she made was, in the long run, it doesn't matter what the truth is. Are you going to want to have to deal with people telling you should shave your beard over and over and over again? And she has a very good point. She also mentioned that it is true that if you have matter around your mouth, it's harder to clean. You know, so
yeah. Well,
I get it.
No, you know, when our friend Steve McCandless was an ambulance driver, I remember being in his house once and seeing a guide up on his fridge that showed the approved styles of facial hair for wearing personal protective equipment, and like beards were right out.
Yeah. So, you can't.
I think
that. You know, the thing that he had maybe is the thing that people were passing around.
It might be. I didn't see the thing that you're talking about, but like I went to my memory bank and I remember the thing that Steven had. So I'm assuming it's
Was it sort of cartoony?
Well, they're all kind of cartoony. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
But
But like a bandito you can have and, you know, stuff like that.
It's you don't want anything to. What I got from it was you don't want anything to that will interfere with the seal of the mask.
That's right. And that is absolutely correct.
You know, I how many firemen or EMTs were out there with a clean shaven ring around their face to put the mask?
Yeah, that's
otherwise they had a full beard.
It was I'm just imagining it. Like it's just the largest mutton chops you've ever seen.
Exactly. And a goatee.
And a goatee. That's right. A Van Dyke. Oh, do you remember that? Were you around? Oh, I want to say, Ben,
where are you going?
I've been keeping a dream journal.
Okay.
And I have many, many dreams where you and I are hanging out. And there's an expectation that I will have rehearsed for something that we're going to be doing, and I have not done it. These are specifically I am letting Ben down dreams.
That's actually not far from the truth, because I did propose something to you that I have not fallen through with yet, but it's coming up soon.
I keep thinking about the idea of playing musical instruments over Zoom.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about the latency. Well, that's the thing that I'm a little bit concerned about.
So here's a little inside the art how I was planning on doing this. So I wanted to do a piece where I set up my drums on Annex's stage, and I connected with you via Zoom on my laptop, and I connected the laptop to the projector. And so I will be playing along. You'll be on the projector playing your ukulele, and I'll be on stage playing the drums.
Yep.
The thing about Zoom is that you can record your Zoom calls. So I would record your call, and on Zoom, you and I would be in time according to what the Zoom was saying.
Yeah.
But, now I just thought of how do I isolate your audio from the Zoom? That's the ticket. Oh, I have my mic muted. Well, then you wouldn't be able to hear me.
Damn or, it. You know, you could, here's what you could do. You could do a click track for you, right? When we have the call,
yeah.
You just have, you're just doing 4/4, right? With a stick on the side of the drum or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when it's live, you play the drums live with it.
Yeah. Well, you
basically
know,
it's an idea.
I think that's what happens when you see a bunch of these videos that are coming out where performers from like all over the world are playing along to the same song and somebody edits it all together. I mean, somebody asked me recently how they do that, and I'm like, well, they're playing along to a guide track.
Yeah, exactly.
And we can't hear what they're playing, you know, because they've got their headphones on or whatnot. Anyway, before this all happens,
we'll
I have to dig my drums out from underneath the booth and and set them up. But I did send you another thing, panel jumper related, about rehearsal.
Oh, yeah. I
Saturday.
Got that already.
Did you reply? Yeah. You didn't reply to me, though.
Oh, wait. I didn't?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm quite positive.
Did you send it via email?
Yeah.
I believe you did.
To your
email address? I am pulling my email up. I know this is normally not something that we do. Let's see. All right, let's see here. So many emails. Oh, shoot. Oh, Okay.
I sent a follow-up.
So you asked me, yeah, okay, so I didn't see the follow-up.
Gotcha.
And yeah, I should be able to do that. Of course, there's, the idea that I will have to actually do it. And what I mean by that is, maybe I'll need to set an alarm or something. Or wait, are you just going to call me?
Yeah,
is that right?
Well, I'll set up a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, after this, I'll.
We don't know what time it is yet. So, are you free over the whole day on Saturday?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have any plans.
It'll be sometime in the early afternoon for us, probably 1 or 2 o'clock. So, 3 or 4 o'clock o'clock your time.
Yeah.
And this is Scheduling with Paul and Ben.
Hey, awesome. this will have already happened by the time you listen to this.
Indeed. But this isn't for public consumption. It's just to you know, talk about and to do it, to rehearse it.
Okay.
So.
No, so it's not a panel jumper live, or is it a panel jumper live?
It's not. It's for that, but it's not. We want to make sure that we all know what we're doing, so we're going to rehearse it once.
Gotcha. So. Am I going to have to be around for the live part?
To be determined. We will also we will obviously work around your schedule because I want you to, you know, I want you to do it. But
and I want to do it.
The eventual.
Let's just get that out of the way. I'm excited to actually do something.
The eventual piece, I think, is going to be a taped piece and not a live piece.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yeah. All right, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Much easier for me not to mess everything up by flaking. And the big thing is, I never understood this. People who flake on stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of my upbringing, how I never had anything going on when I was a kid. Like, how can you forget that? Well, it's easy if you're doing a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right.
So that's something. Lots of things happening, Ben, in the world.
Did you hear about the latest controversy?
Tell me.
This is another Paul guesses the news. I'm going to give you a hint. Give you a couple of hints and see if you can guess what the latest controversy is.
All right. I probably will get it because I'm plugged in.
All right. First off, the people who are angry are anecdotally a bunch of white people.
Okay, well, that's going to narrow it down.
Sure, that narrows it down. Secondly, it has to do with A food item.
Huh. Okay.
Specifically.
This is,
all right. So we're narrowing it down even more. Specifically,
this is a problem.
It has to do with the packaging of a food item.
Oh, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
What am I talking about?
You were talking about Land O'Lakes butter. And the fact
yes.
that they have removed the image of a native person from Land O'Lakes butter.
Indeed. They removed the indigenous woman from the package of the butter, and white people for some reason went crazy. Like, I'm never gonna buy this butter again. It looks like I'm going to store brand. I'm like, what's going on here?
To paraphrase someone that I read on Twitter, white people are being like, we're a Land O'Lakes family. That's quotes. And I won't be buying this anymore. The concept of not buying Land O'Lakes butter because they've... I guess the idea that the people have is that they've caved to the pressure that native people are putting on the butter industry to remove... I don't get it.
That's one way to look at it, is that Land O'Lakes caved to the PC culture and having, iconography of a Native American girl is insensitive.
The other thing is, of course, this thing doesn't look like the thing I'm used to it looking like. I don't like it anymore. Anybody who's worked on websites at all, that's a human impulse that for some reason works. But there's got to be that component to it, it seems like. The thing that I find interesting, I have not been to the grocery store lately, but I'm wondering if it's a regional thing and some places are still going to have it. At least for a while.
I have no idea.
The reason I mentioned this is here, around here, southern Illinois, where I live. You remember the controversy where Brawny had a woman on the Brawny towels?
I do not remember that.
Yeah, Brawny paper towels had a woman.
Okay.
Normally there's a dude.
Yeah, like a big a Brawny lumberjack.
Exactly. And they added a woman to it, and people were upset, similarly to the Land O'Lakes thing. They're like, what are we doing? A woman isn't Brawny. Brawny is this dude, and I don't like it. We never got the Brawny woman in any of our stores. Never saw it.
I don't think we did either. I don't even recall there being a woman on the Brawny paper towels.
This reminds me back of when professional wrestling wasn't televised nationally. Different people would win different matches depending on what part of the country you were in.
What?
I know this because you remember Jeff Soule?
Yeah.
His father, who is now passed on, so I can't ask him to validate this, but I remember distinctly, talked about how he had a sort of a conversation with Sergeant Slaughter. Do you remember Sergeant Slaughter?
No.
Wrestler, also a member of G.I. Joe, made a crossover.
Okay. Sounds cool.
But he was saying, oh, yeah, I get to win this time. And he mentioned that because I think it was Scott Air Force Base was nearby, but because there's a large military presence, Sergeant Slaughter got to win. Normally he was the bad guy, but he was a good guy in this situation.
Oh, of course. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, traveling wrestling shows, I can see that. I thought you meant about, like, in something that's televised where they would
well,
play.
Well, this is the thing, is that when it's televised, when it started to be televised, just like how once watches had to be synchronized because of the trains, time changed a little bit. The same way, you couldn't have a wrestler be the champion on TV and not be the champion in the city that you're in. He could lose still,
right?
But there had to be some continuity in who was friends with whom and what, you know, you had to nail down, have a sort of a show Bible about which wrestlers didn't like each other and the different factions and stuff like that. Whereas when it wasn't televised, you could kind of play it fast and loose depending on what town you were in.
Right, right. There was a clip, which you probably saw this clip, that it was like an amateur wrestling match in some mall somewhere. And one of the wrestlers dives off the upper balcony, like the second floor, onto the ring.
I did see that. Yeah, that was crazy.
How do they? I mean, I'm not the kind of person who says wrestling is fake. You know, the storylines are made up, but the actual physical stuff is real. How does this person not get hurt?
Well, that's the thing is. Okay, two things on that. Number one, you have pinpointed what I think is the sort of hierarchy of wrestling mindsets for watching it, right? When you're a kid or, you know, dumb, I don't want to necessarily make it an ageist thing, it's all real. Everybody hates each other. Yeah. The blows are all real, all that kind of stuff. When you get a little bit of knowledge, you're like, oh, ho, ho, all of this is fake. They're just stage acting.
They're not even hitting each other. None of these blows are real. Yeah, exactly. The floor.
Exactly. And then you get to a third thing, which is like, these guys' knees blow out all the time. Their steroid problems.
Yeah.
There's a high
suicide rate among professional wrestlers.
And they actually do get hurt in the ring when they're doing their moves, even if they're doing them correctly.
Yeah.
And then you remember, I think, I wish I could remember his name. I don't remember. A performer did a monologue about how he was a professional wrestler for a while. And he ended up fighting in a ring and he got a concussion. But he made it all the way home.
Did we watch this at like a Spin the Bottle or a Weird and Awesome?
Yeah, it was a Spin the Bottle. That's right.
Yeah, that's Jake. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So Jake, firsthand account.
Yeah.
This guy, he got hurt.
Yeah.
It happens. It is kind of funny that you kind of do a full orbit from... Oh, people are actually getting hurt. Ha ha ha. No, I'm smarter than you. They aren't actually getting hurt. Oh no, they actually are getting hurt. Yeah. It's kind of, speaking of I'm smarter than you, I'm wondering if we have any corrections that have come in yet.
I'll tell you, they came in not 5 minutes ago.
All right. So listen, everybody, if you are a fan of this show, you already know what I'm going to say. So I'm going to try to be briefer.
So you can probably skip ahead about 2 minutes.
Yeah, basically, we are doing this show, and we don't do any research for it. We try to just be at the top of what our brains know, and sometimes we get things wrong. And when that happens, we have someone who actually does research, and my wife, Jennifer Pratt, also known as Jennifer Fact Checker, actually listens to the episode, and then... does research and lets us know what it is that we got wrong, what we could have gotten more right, or I believe this time, where we're kind of off base, specifically me, with some of our theories, or as I like to call them, hypotheses. And all of these pieces of advice, and I'm trying to not use the word that I'm about to use, all these pieces of advice and suggestions on things to say differently are combined into one segment on this program that we like to call Corrections. Ding! And also future archaeologists can use this as a way to calibrate their machinery. All right. So what's up, Ben?
One of the things we talked about last week was how Trump was advocating for people to inject disinfectant into their bodies to treat COVID-19 or sunlight. You know, it was one of those things where he was musing about doing it. He wasn't actually saying, I think, you know, people, this will cure you. He was saying,
he didn't necessarily say that people should inject disinfectant to themselves. Medical doctors could inject disinfectant to people. So, you know,
The PS of this story is he says he was being sarcastic to see what the reporters would say, but he was constantly looking over to this one woman who was sitting on the side of the living room. Now,
were not sure.
Well, see, I'm leading up to that. I had just seen that clip that day. And I did not know who that woman was. I thought she might have been a reporter.
Yes.
She was not acknowledging Trump at all.
Right.
And since then, I have learned that the woman near Trump during his light and disinfectant cure speech is Dr. Deborah Birx, head of the COVID-19 task force. She is an MD, but is not the source of any of Trump's speculations of light or disinfectant treatments.
Right. And that was one of the other things is that... one of a spokesperson for him stated that he was actually talking to someone else. And then a different reporter pointed out that he actually called her by name at one point when he was talking to her. So,
yeah. So you can't trust what comes out of the White House these days.
Was that a self-correction or is that one of the things that Jennifer put
out? It was
out?
One of the things that I kind of molded my explanation into her correction.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Perfect.
Number two. I have no idea what we were talking about, so I'm just going to read this correction verbatim.
Okay.
And you tell me what it means.
I will do so.
Number two, the Che Guevara of the U.S. scenario. I can't address it thoroughly here. It's just so wrong. Wrong. It's just not. I can't. And that's it.
Okay, so I can talk about that. This is the thing that I was hinting towards. I didn't know how much she would actually get into it. Because she had a longer conversation with me in person about it. Basically, this is where I'm coming from. So we have two different candidates right now running for president. And one of the parties, the Democratic Party, put up a candidate that a lot of the younger people in the Democratic Party aren't happy with. And they're complaining about the way that he breaks with their ideology and things like that.
Yeah.
And
he's just another old
white
man.
When faced with this, people are saying things like, well, then we don't need you, or I guess you're gonna have four more years of Trump. That, you know, their concerns aren't being spoken to. They're being kind of shouted down and things like that. And I had proposed, the thing that I had mentioned to you was that if someone were to come along and listen to them, it is possible that they could enlist these kids into a more violent, direct action kind of thing.
Right,
and
right,
I might have made the statement, revolutions don't need elections. That could happen at any time. Basically.
All right. So I remember this conversation.
So her point, and I'll, again, she was much more thorough than I'm going to be here. But the big point that she was making was that in order for anything like that to be successful, you would need the military on board. And the idea that there would be something to bridge the divide between, you know, the young socialists and the military, she just can't see that happening.
Right. Right.
My response to her was, I didn't necessarily say that they were going to be successful. I was just saying that that's something that we might have to deal with eventually. You know, the hippies didn't win and the yippies didn't win and all, you know what I mean? There could be a movement that confounds people. I think that was my big thing. I was saying people aren't going to know how to deal with it. Unfortunately, especially after she was talking to me about it, I think that the way that people are going to deal about it is, you know, deal with it rather, is eventually the older folks are going to... okay, none of this may happen.
no, we're not going to get back into it.
Yeah. So yeah, what was her... can you say what she said? Once more,
The Che Guevara of the U.S. The Che Guevara of the U.S. scenario. So a revolutionary leader.
Yeah.
I can't address it thoroughly here. It's just so wrong. Wrong. It's just not dot, dot, dot. I can't dot, dot, dot. Exhumed.
Right.
Pursued by a bear.
So basically she was saying nothing to worry about because it's not going to happen.
Right.
So.
All right.
And yeah. So. I think that I want to say that I think you were kind of on that page as well.
I don't think a youthful revolution is coming anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, so, I think we've had this conversation maybe a couple times, a couple different weeks, where you're worried that Betty's generation is going to rise up against the adults in charge. And I think it's probably a generation past that where we're going to have to worry.
Yeah, I remember you. And that's the other thing that I feel as though the people like me, the people like you, whatever, we're going to be conflicted and we're going to feel bad when something happens, if something happens.
Yeah.
But the people in charge aren't really going to have to sweat it too much.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'll at least, you know, my conscience will at least be clear because I feel that I have voted on the right side of history, even if the person I did not vote for won. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
We were talking about social distancing and illnesses, I suppose. I don't remember this, but that's not surprising. Number three is there any illness social distancing aggravates? And the answer is many. People are not getting screening tests right now, so cancers and other progressive diseases will be undiagnosed and thus untreated. Most mental illnesses worsen dramatically when sufferers are isolated, and the depression and anxiety epidemic has also become a pandemic itself. It's funny, I was talking to my family on Monday, and my sister mentioned that one of the hospitals in her husband's parents' hometown, which is a small town in eastern Washington, has closed because patients are not going to the hospital because they're worried about getting COVID. And my parents mentioned that there were like two hospitals in the small town they live in, and one of them has closed. And so hospitals are closing because they're not getting patients. Because people aren't going to the hospital, which, you know, and which led me to say, gosh, maybe a for-profit healthcare system doesn't work.
Oh, no. To them or just in general?
No, I said that on my family call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fortunately, none of us work in healthcare.
Yeah. I was thinking about this today. This is sort of an interesting segue. You might have seen this already. I wrote a big thing about it. But the basic concept is somebody tweeted something into my timeline, and it was one of those stories like God couldn't make it, so he sent a Marine or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's a story that is thought of to be a real thing, but is not actually a real thing. Somebody made up to as an object lesson for their worldview. And the basic thing was teacher in an economics class said, how many people here like socialism? And all the kids in the class raised their hands because, you know, millennials,
right?
I guess. I didn't write this. Somebody else wrote it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The teacher said, well, okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to institute socialism for your grades, and we're just going to take an average of all the class and everybody gets whatever that grade is. So if you all get A's except for like two people who get F's, you'll get a B, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that the first test happens, everybody gets a B, and then the A students are like, well, gosh, I don't like this. I wish I didn't have to study. So then they don't study. And then the people that got C's are like, hey, I did pretty good. I got a B and I didn't even study that much. Guess I don't have to study anymore anyway. And then everybody failed the next one. Everybody got a D, and then finally everybody got Fs.
Yeah.
And it made me mad because I'm like, look, I remember being in school. If I studied really hard and got a B because everybody else, you know, did worse than me, and the teacher said, we're setting up this so that we take the average of everyone, I, as a smart kid, am not going to go, well, why didn't I get an A? I'm going to know why I didn't get an A. The teacher already laid it out. I'm in a new system now. So, you know, and also, I don't want to sound like a braggart, but I got a lot of A's without studying ever.
Right.
And so people like me, still going to be there, moving the curve. Now, I will grant that when I got to college and more higher learning things, that kind of thing didn't help me. I didn't do as well as I did in grade school and, you know, high school. I didn't do as well. Grade school, I did fine. High school, I didn't do as well as grade school. College, I didn't do as well as high school. But I have a degree, so no problems. But the big thing is, the problem is that they keep the structure of the quote-unquote capitalist system for the class, not even getting to the fact that school in socialist countries and things like that do not necessarily operate on... it doesn't translate. The academics of the socialist country don't follow everybody gets the same grade. That's not the way that those places work.
Right.
Be that as it may.
But that's not the point of this parable.
The point of the parable is that, and this is the thing that makes me mad, the person writing it can't think of anything smarter or think of anyone smarter than themselves. And because of that, they assume that everybody in the class, if they are disincentivized by a material gain, well, in this case,
automatically
an A,
fail,
will just stop working.
Yeah,
exactly. And this is where you get people who are, again, not that smart because they don't have, I guess, poor skills. I don't know. You know, they've always been rich. I don't. Saying if someone makes $600 a week and their job only pays them $300 a week, then they have no incentive to work. Yes, that is true. But the problem isn't that they were getting $600 a week. The problem is that they were only being paid $300 a week before.
Right.
We incentivize people by, and this is the thing that I think is crazy. People don't, we have this idea that people get rewards for doing good work. You do good work, and then you get a reward. The thing is, all the stuff that they're getting as rewards already exists, right? It's there, the person's there, the person could just take it, but they can't because there's a system set in place where that stuff is withheld until they do the thing that we want them to do. That's how all of our country works. You know what I mean? I can't get gas in my car until I give you the money, and I get the money from doing the work. So I can't drive around until I do the work. You know, the fact that I have to drive to do the work is, you know, another thing entirely. But the basic idea is that since we were kids, we were brought up the idea, here's a cookie, you get the cookie after you eat your dinner. So I eat my dinner, then I get the cookie. In a situation where you can have the cookie if you want, you have a dinner if you want, you know, do whatever. Kids might eat the cookie first, might not eat the dinner at all, that kind of thing. And that's what people are concerned about.
But the
that...
Yeah, go ahead.
That if you have all the food you need, if you have all the health care you need, you may not want to go to a factory and...
You won't be a productive,
you know, sharpen
society.
Pencils all day. Yeah.
See, that's the thing that I see from my Republican friends is that, you know, these people who, you know, are proud workers, and they're like, you know, why should my tax dollars go to fund somebody who's just being lazy? You know, if you're making $600 a week on unemployment, and well, why don't I get $600 a week in unemployment? And what these people don't realize is that, you know, maybe they've not been unemployed. Being unemployed sucks.
Yeah.
You know, and
you don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it. And sure, I mean, sure, yeah, there's probably a percentage out there who can live on $600 a week and would prefer not to work. But I think for the most part, people like going to work. People like supporting families. People like being a productive member of societies. And I think the narrative that we've been told that, you know, this, you know, the people only will work if they get that reward at the end, I think are the same religious people who tell us that, you know, we're not killing anybody because we get a reward in the afterlife.
Or yeah, the idea, somebody, if you suggest the concept of a anarchist cooperative society, they're like, well, then what's to keep me and my friend Bill from smashing everybody's head open with a tire iron and taking all their stuff? And it's like, that's what you and Bill want to do?
Exactly.
The only thing that's stopping, and as I you know, like I said, the big thing is, as I am, I don't want to say the word forced because that's wrong, as I am put in a situation where I need to interact with people for belief systems vastly different than mine.
Yeah.
I've come to accept the idea that there is what people believe on paper, right? And what they do in their daily lives. And the most right-wing guy that I know at the place where I work, I get along with him really, really well. And the reason is because we both approach work in the same way.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so it's a weird situation where all of a sudden I'm realizing that he and I don't run the federal government. There's not a lot that we do on a personal, you know, in this office interaction thing. We're on the same side.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But it's also true. And the things that he cares about and the things that I care about, neither of us have the power to actually influence the other one's world in that regard.
One person, like, I one can't, vote.
Well, exactly. Except for voting. The thing that I found really interesting, I forgot about this. You remember Ross Perot, right?
How can you forget him?
You weren't of voting age when Ross Perot was around, were you?
What was that, 92?
Yeah.
How old was I in 92? I was 16?
Okay.
I would, yeah.
Yeah, well, because I was, in 92, I was turning, all I know is I was 18, because I voted in that election.
Yeah.
I
turned 16 in March of 92.
The thing that's interesting is that Ross Perot got like 16% of the vote as a third party candidate, which is amazing for a third party candidate.
Wait, 16%?
16.
Okay.
16.
I'm like, where'd you get your numbers?
Oh, no, no.
16%.
But he did not get any electoral votes.
Right. Or whatever. I don't recall. So, you know.
And that's something that I find interesting. Because it goes to show, again, like, this whole thing, everything that we're dealing with in this election, in the end, no matter who wins the popular vote, somebody else could be president. That's what happened last time.
But, yep. Well, it's also, you know, you vote for your delegates for your state, and your delegates can just, the superdelegates can just be like, screw who you want. I'm going to put this guy on stage.
And so when people say, oh, this guy sucks, you know, he's never going to win, I'm like, yeah, probably, but he could. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Nothing matters. We'll see.
But it's you know, the frustrating thing, going back to the whole socialism aspect and the why should my tax dollars go to pay for somebody who just doesn't want to work? I also, you know, when I think about that sort of situation and I see people say that, I also, you know, I can't help but feel that there's just a tinge, okay, maybe a smattering, okay, maybe a wallop of racism involved. Because if you look at, you know, if I'm seeing my right-wing friends who claim that their taxes don't want their taxes to go towards people on welfare, who do you think of? But if you point to like a white family that's on unemployment, well, they just hit a hard time. They'll get back on their feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if it's a non-white family, then oh no, they're freeloaders on welfare and I don't want my taxes to support them.
The thing that I can say is that I am lucky to have been in a couple of different situations where the highest performing person, the one that people care about and they want to make sure is happy and all that, has been a non-white person.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's kind of great about it is that I feel lucky that I can see that power dynamic, because the people who normally, you know, do decry that, they can't use their normal complaining tactics when they're talking about someone who they rely on because he's better at his job than they are.
Okay.
So it's interesting to see people try to... They can't fall back into their normal patterns, I guess is what I could say. Banter. Complaints about how the world works and stuff like that. It's all different if you have someone who isn't white in a position of not just authority, but of... you know, skill.
Yeah,
I guess, because it's an everyday challenge to their worldview, because they know they're not as good as him.
How many
or her?
How many people out there are have said, I just don't trust them. Them being a minority or somebody who's not them. I don't just trust them. Oh, except for Steve. Steve's all right.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that sometimes, though, I mean, and I could be, granted, this is all anecdotal, right? But but sometimes Steve is also not trusted because Steve is a threat to your worldview and your, not your Ben.
I know.
Steve is a threat, but the racist looks at Steve, right? And they can't explain him away, right? They can't ignore the fact that Steve exists, basically. And
there's some cognitive dissonance going on.
And it's a thing that I didn't think about when people were complaining about affirmative action and things like that. People talk about all the time that affirmative action, puts people who are, this is their main complaint, it puts people who aren't skilled in certain positions.
Right.
And I didn't realize until recently that the other thing it did was preserve white fragility. The idea that someone could be better than you wasn't in your face all the time, because you could ban workers who actually were more skilled from your office and you didn't have to see them outperform you. Basically.
Yeah.
Speaking about not having to see them outperform you. Hey, Benny!
Oh, God.
Benny!
I saw a picture on Facebook today of Betty's new hair color.
Oh, yeah. Benny!
I don't know if it was new color hair color for Jennifer either, but there was a...
Oh, yeah. Jennifer's got new hair color, too.
Well, there you go.
Everybody's got new hair color than me. I just shaved my beard off.
Where's your adventure, Paul?
Yeah, well, hey, man. Paul without a beard, pretty adventuresome, I gotta say. So yeah, a lot of things pointing to the idea that Betty is never going back to school this school year. I think it is official.
This school year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they've
ever again.
Ever again. They've canceled school through June up here in Seattle. And I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would not be surprised if they canceled it for this calendar year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Hello.
Hey, Betty. So, Betty, you are you officially off of school now for...
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah, we're not positive, but...
Anywho,
and when you say off of school, you mean just not going into school, but you're still doing e-learning and all that fun stuff?
Yep.
All right, gotcha.
What was that? Oh, yeah, here are some things. Yesterday, the cat threw up. It was terrifying.
On the carpet or on the hardwood floor?
On the carpet.
Yeah, that's what cats do.
I didn't see her actually do it, but, like, I heard her, like, she was right in front of me, and I just kind of cowered away. Because I have a very big fear of vomiting.
Who cleaned it up?
And Dad cleaned it.
That's right.
You always need to get that credit in.
Also, just a couple days ago, I had very low blood sugar. And let me tell you, it was freaking terrifying.
Really?
Yeah, like, my limbs were shaking for no reason, and I could barely walk. Luckily, my mom saved me. She made me a hot dog.
Oh, there you go. You gotta remember to eat sometimes.
Yeah. Moral of the story, I love my mom.
Yeah,
That's all the exciting things that's been happening.
Sounds exciting.
I don't know if you know this, Ben, but it's a rule in my family that if one of us has to sacrifice themselves for the good of the rest of the family, I'm the one that gets to die.
Jeez.
Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
Because Betty would be mad at me forever if I died instead of Mom. And if Betty dies instead of me, Mom would kill me. So it's best for everybody all around if I'm the...
Yeah.
The guy who dies.
You're the sacrifice.
Yep.
He's
that's
the sacrifice.
Yep. Yeah. It's true. Oh, thanks, Betty. So, yeah. Hey, you had one of those Ranger cookies.
Ranger cookies?
Yeah, the cookie that I made.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're really good.
What kind of cereal was in it?
I don't know.
It wasn't like Lucky Charms or anything fun?
No, Ben just asked what cereal was in it.
Oh, Rice Krispies.
Rice Krispies.
Gotcha.
Anyways, that's all I got.
All right, well, good talking to you.
Bye.
See you, Betty. Well, there you go.
She came with content. Was she instructed on what to say?
No. I guess that was rattling around in her head today.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Oh, speaking of which, we have a jumper. It's a little mini drone that flies around.
Cool.
And the cool thing about it is that it actually hops.
Hence the name Jumper.
And the dog hates it. But you control it with your cell phone, so she was piling that around today.
Neat.
That was pretty cool, yeah. So, anyhow...
If I didn't know your dog's name was Edward, I would have thought that you meant the dog was piling it around.
We named the dog Edward.
I like the name Indiana.
Yeah. So, I unplugged a cord, and I was trying to put it in, and I realized it's not hooked up to anything. So that's what that noise was, me trying to... fix the microphone that wasn't broken.
Ah, well, yeah.
Hey, speaking about all that, so when's, let's just do a real quick COVID-19 roundup. You still, what are your stay-at-home orders, shelter-in-place orders? What? How's your movement? What can you do and not do?
They are going to give us more information on Friday, tomorrow, but the stay-at-home mm-hmm. order has been extended past May 4th. We are still allowed to do essential things like go to the grocery store and go to the pharmacy and stuff like that. You can walk through parks, but you can't like sit and have a picnic. The parks department will come and kick you out. They are starting to open back up the boat ramps for boating, for fishing.
Okay.
And I heard that Governor Inslee, quote, succumbed to right-wing pressure in opening up the boating and some outdoors activities.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things of you're not going to be out there. So
I'm not going boating. I'm not going hunting or fishing. So, you know, whatever.
But still, I get it. I mean, being an outdoor, this is the thing. Imagining a guy in his kayak, whatever, seeing a hunter on the shore going, hey, that's fine. The idea of somebody using a campground to host a party with like 100 people, not great.
No.
And that's the question, is how far do they end up pushing it?
But I don't know how much this is can be transmitted, say, by splashes of water.
Yeah.
So
true.
Whatever.
Personally, over here, I think it's been extended to May 30th. I could be wrong, but I think that just came through recently. Which again means that the school year would be done. The stuff is all pretty much closed still. Whether or not people abide by that, sometimes I've seen more people show up places than maybe should be. People standing in groups. Lots of people don't wear masks.
Yeah.
Andy, your friend of mine, we're walking around 6 feet apart, talking to one another. And a couple in a pickup truck pulled up to a stop where we were at, and they looked at me and him wearing our masks. And they shook their heads and kind of whispered to each other and laughed a little bit.
I had that same experience in the grocery store on Saturday. I was wearing a mask, and I came to the end of one of the aisles, and some woman and her two children walked in front of me, and she looked at me, and right after she passed me, she said to her kids, "What the heck has gotten into people?"
Yeah.
I'm like, lady?
COVID-19, my good lady.
And with that.
Sorry. Hey. Ben, even though I want you to keep it wrong, I also want you to stay safe.
Yes.
So don't be wrong in an unsafe manner.
Keep it wrong, but keep it right.
Exactly. And with that, I'll talk to you later, man.
Yep. Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye. Hey.